All right, we're going to carry on here. We're going to start talking about some basic steps. What's wrong? Oh. Okay. We're going to start talking about some basic steps to a higher kind of faith. And this is the part one. We'll start talking about a basic central truth that has to do with this. It is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we overcome Satan, that we are delivered from the power of darkness, and that we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So in these lessons on faith, we have a twofold purpose in mind. That we have already covered most of these next points in some form or another, but I want to bring them together so that we can check up on the progress that we're making, get ready for the final exam, so to speak. If you studied these faith lessons that we've been talking about for the last couple months, and they've taken hold in your heart, the devil is going to contest you. The Lord wants us to be prepared for the future, and through the power of God's word, we can be ready for any emergency that may arise. That's literally, if you look and you study the life of Jesus, everywhere he went, he was prepared for every emergency that came up. He was very wealthy. He was very prosperous. Now, here's the thing about prosperity. People get confused about this all the time. Prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is having the ability to meet any need at any time that arises. And Jesus certainly had that. He was prosperous in every way where he could meet everybody's needs at any given time, provided they came to him in faith. See, the Bible tells us that in his own hometown, he couldn't do very much in his own hometown, save, you know, a few small things, but people just didn't come to him in faith. They didn't come expecting to receive anything. We want to come to him in a full assurance of faith, being fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said he's able to do. The first thing we need to understand is the integrity of the word. We need to know is that the word of God is actually what it declares itself to be. It is a revelation from God to us. It is God speaking to us. Not only is it a book of the past and a book of the future, it is also the book of the now. The book is God-breathed, God-indwelt, and God-inspired message. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Literally, you had to come to the understanding that God cannot lie. That Jesus cannot lie. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. If either one of them ever lied, they'd have to bow their knee to the devil because he's the father of all lies. God cannot lie. If he says that he'll meet your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then that is the way it is. We need to have a little bit of cooperation. We need to get ourselves in line with the word. Now here's the thing. There's a teaching that goes around saying that there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with his word. So if faith is not working, there must be something wrong with you. That's false. Period. That's false. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word. And there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing. There's nothing. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And God did a perfect work in you. Our job is to receive from Him. Receive of His goodness. It's a whole lot easier to build your house of faith before the storm hits. But don't get confused. You can still build that house during the storm. And in fact, the houses that get built during the storm seem to be the ones that really stand up really well. Because those sometimes are the lessons that we got to grind out by faith, and they're not the easiest lessons to learn. Mofa translation of that verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, literally says, "For the word of God is a living thing." The word quick actually means alive, living. The word of God is a living thing. But it will only come alive to you as you accept it and act upon it. So we see that the first step toward the highest kind of faith is to accept and understand the integrity of God's Word. The Word is of foremost importance. God holds His Word above His own name. There's nothing higher than His Word. That Word is alive. His word never dies. One of the neatest testimonies I ever heard was a jockey that went into a motel room and he's just drinking. He's drinking himself to death, drinking and drugging, and he passed out. He fell off his bed and he was underneath the TV, and the TV was playing. Somehow, at some point, he woke up and he heard this preacher preaching the gospel. And he decided that he better accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior right there. So laying on that floor, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Later on, he met that preacher and he told him what happened, and he told him the exact date. And that preacher went back to his records and he looked up that, and that was actually a rerun. He originally preached that sermon 10 years before that, and they just replayed it. But see, since the Word of God never dies, it got out in the atmosphere, out of somebody's voice, into the atmosphere, so somebody can hear it. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He heard it and it built faith in his heart to be saved and changed his life. There's a lot of stories about people sleeping under bleachers and they hear a sermon, and they hear that sermon and they get born again while they're sleeping under the bleachers. Then they come find the pastor later on and say, "Hey, you remember that time at that rodeo you preached?" And they say, "Yeah. Well, I was there and I got born again." The guy said, "Well, I don't remember that." And the guy said, "Well, I was under the bleachers." God's word is alive, and as long as somebody can hear it, it can build faith in their heart. Don't ever forget that. As long as somebody can hear it, and here's a very important thing. Sometimes you may get called on a ministry call to go to a hospital. And the doctor may say, "This person is unresponsive." What? "Oh, okay, I'll catch him eventually. Just believe me. It's okay. At least it's not a mountain lion." Okay, anyway, Anyway, this word is alive. It does not die. And if people can hear it, this is important to understand. Sometimes people are unresponsive and they're laying on the hospital bed. Just because they're not moving their eyes, they're not moving their lips, and it seems like they might not hear you, they hear every single word that you say. Speak life to them. Speak life to them. Don't give up. Speak life to them. They hear you. You know how many, I don't know how many testimonies I have heard where people have said they were laying on the bed and they could hear the doctors and their families talking about their funeral, talking about their will, talking about all this other stuff. And then they woke up. See, they hear. They can still hear. And as long as they can hear, they can still receive life from God's word. So don't give up. Just keep speaking faith-filled words toward them. As you begin to study the word of God in this light, accepting it as it is, you will be amazed to learn that some of the things that you have always believed are not the word at all. You will wonder why you believed some things the way you did. That's kind of where I decided, you know, you got to take everything that you believe and lay it out on the table. And ask yourself, why do you believe what you believe? And then match it up with the Word of God. If it doesn't fit in the Word of God, take that belief and lay it off to the side and replace it with what God's Word says. Every single Christian on the face of this earth has to do that at some point in their life. They have to stop and say, okay, why do I believe what I believe? See, there are some people running around thinking that miracles are not for today. They didn't get that idea from the Bible. There are some people running around thinking that healing is not for today. They didn't get that from the Bible. There are some people running around thinking that tongues is of the devil. That didn't come from the Bible. That's why it's so important for you to read the Bible and believe what the Bible says over what any doctrine says. See, people will make doctrines and twist scriptures and take scriptures out of context to form a doctrine that won't line up with the Word of God. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Let's go to the second step. Our redemption in Christ. The new creation realities. The things that Jesus did in us and for us and through us. And who we are in Him, who He is in us. Those things are absolutely important for you to understand. So this second thing that we need to know is the reality of our redemption in Christ, not as a doctrine, philosophy, or creed of some kind, but an actual redemption from the authority of Satan. For by the new birth we have been translated into the kingdom of His Son. Excuse me. Into the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of God. In other words, we have been born into the very family of God. Stop and think about that. There's too many people that are struggling trying to get free from the devil when they have already been freed from the devil. They're living under the circumstances instead of ruling over the circumstances. You've already been set free from the devil. I just love that Eagles song. So it talks about so many times we lived our lives in chains and we didn't even know we had the key. There is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people running around living their life in chains and they don't even know they have the key. They've been made free. Now, if you take a bird and you decide you're going to set him free, you open the door. Now, that bird may sit in that cage. He could sit in there for a long time. But you set him free. But what God did is he made you free. That means he took you out of the cage. And he made you free. The Bible does tell us that the truth will make you free. But it's going to be the truth that you know. See, there's people with Bibles in their houses all over the place. You know, they may have a lot of Bibles. But if they don't ever open them things up and read them for themselves, they're not going to know the truth. They may hear something their pastor said, or maybe, you know, something mama said, but that's not the same as the truth. The Bible is the truth. And that's what we build our lives on. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. See, there's a lot of people that don't seem to think that they qualify for God's blessings. They don't seem to think that they qualify for God's best. Maybe they don't think that they're quite able to reach that level. Maybe they're confused on some things. But right here is what God has to say about that. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, not only did he wash away your sins and forgive you and make you part of the family when you got born again, but he qualified you through the blood of Jesus to receive his blessings. He qualified you through the blood of Jesus to receive answers to your prayers. He qualified you through the blood of Jesus to receive protection from him, to receive guidance from him. See, he is the creator. This is something that you have to understand. He created us. Now, when somebody creates something, they take responsibility to take care of it. That means it's God's responsibility to take care of you. And most people are striving constantly trying to take care of themselves. When it's our loving Father who wants to take care of us. Sometimes we need to just sit back and let God be God in our lives. Let him take care of us. You know, it's okay to let him love on us. It's okay to let him provide for us. Yeah? You know, sometimes he provides for us through other people. You know, I know the prophet had a raven bring him bread and bring him food. But most of us aren't going to get fed by a raven. But God will send other people to you to minister to you, minister food to you, minister clothing to you, Now here's the thing. This is where it's important. Now this is where you got to get your pride out of the way. Somebody comes up and says, God has put you on my heart and I want to bless you with this. You need to not say, I'm doing okay. I don't need it. You're being foolish. You're operating in pride. And you're taking away a chance for them to sow seed in an area that God told them to minister in. Amen. I had a discussion with a young guy that got out of Bible school and he's going to go on a mission trip. And I said, and I wanted to be a part of it, I just couldn't go. I said, you got enough to get down there on? He said, God's providing for me. I said, well, praise God. He said, you got enough to get down there on? And he said, God is providing for me to get down there. I said, well, praise God. I said, you got enough gas to get down there? You got enough food to get down there? And he said, God will provide for me. And I said, will you shut up? And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, I want to give you $100 to go. He said, oh. I said, yeah. I know God's going to provide for you, but he's going to use other people to help that along. Amen? Sometimes you just got to get your pride out of the way. Isn't it wonderful, though, that we can enter into our inheritance in Christ? God has made us able to have part of his inheritance. We've just read in that verse 12, the above passage. That's cool. The Bible tells us that we've been made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means equal. Sometimes I don't think we think about that verse enough. We've been made equal heirs with Jesus. The Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. So what do we do to receive those things? Start thanking him for those things. You know, you can thank your way into a miracle. Jesus did. You can thank God for providing for you, feeding you. Thank God for taking care of you. Thank God for providing a place for you to live. Thank God for giving you transportation. Thank God for taking care of you every day and protecting you. When we thank God, that opens up the airways between us and him, opens up that funnel to receive. Verse 13 says, he has already delivered us from the power of darkness. That Greek word, which is translated power, means authority. The devil has no authority over you. You got a new boss. And his name is Jesus. He's delivered us from the authority of darkness. That's referring to Satan's kingdom. Notice too that the scripture doesn't say that he is going to deliver us. It says that he already has delivered us. The minute you got born again, you got delivered from the authority of Satan. He has no more authority over you. You've been made free in Christ Jesus. Now, not only that, but Jesus gave you authority over him. Isn't that cool? That's called turning the cards over now, isn't it? Not only did he take Satan's authority over you away, but he gave you authority over Satan. Now you tell the devil what to do. You tell him where to go. He is not your boss anymore. Verse 14 tells us the price of the redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So in connection with that scripture, we look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, which is what the scripture we started with. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So when we get a revelation of what the blood of Jesus did for us in making us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and justifying us freely through his grace, making us holy, making us sanctified, all these different things, get a revelation of the helmet of salvation, the gospel of the sandals of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, get all these things, the belt of truth, and you start getting a revelation of that. And then you couple that with the word of your testimony. That's the word of your mouth. So you start saying what God says about you to the devil. The devil says you're going to fail. You tell him that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You tell him he's just going to overrun you. You tell him, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. You got to talk to the devil. I know you don't like him, but you got to talk to him. Don't talk about him. Don't talk about what he's done to you. Don't talk about what he's done to your finances. Don't talk about what he's done to your children. You talk to him and you use the word of God. You know, Jesus talked to the devil. And he said, it is written. Every time he needed to talk to him sternly, he said, it is written. And he repeated the word of God to him. If Jesus had to repeat the word of God to him, what makes us think that we're going to do anything else? We need to repeat the word of God to him. Amen? And here's the cool thing. It seems like in this day that we live in, somebody is always getting some new, crazy, wild revelation. They're coming up with some new, crazy preaching scheme and all these different things. If you notice, Jesus used the basics. The basics still work. The basics are what stilled storms. The basics are what raised the dead back to life and cleansed lepers. The very basics. We don't have to have some new thing. We just have to believe the true thing. When we believe the true thing and use it, fun things happen. Amen? Well, we better stop there because we're out of time. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and shows us how to rightfully divide your word. We thank you that every time we hear your word preached, that it builds faith in our hearts and it causes us to change. We change all the time. We keep getting more of you in us, and it changes us daily. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.